Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Min Dong.
I'm Akinguyo. 138 days until the 2023-2024 college basketball season begins.
Still a long days away until 2023 season tips off, but it is June 21st, and that means we are one day away from the NBA draft, and this is a yearly tradition at this point, is the NBA first round mock draft from the both of us. Super excited. We forgot all about this, so we kind of have to scramble with our mock drafts. But what do you think about your draft?
I mean, every single year it always goes terribly for both of us. I think it's 1-1. How many years have we done this? 3 or 4 now, or two or three?
We've done this 2 years already, and then obviously on Friday we're gonna do our NBA draft grades. That's another different story. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the rubber match. And this is the third mock draft we have. Last year you did pretty well. You had like 6 or 7, I think. I only had 3, which is
Six and seven's good. I mean, we always think, every single expert thinks they're gonna go 20 or 25 for 30. It's never the case. Usually, I mean, the elite of the elitist probably do, but like casuals like us, we think everything's gonna happen the way we plan it out. Reality, it never happens that
especially,
way. There's always,
especially with all the drafts or the trades during the draft night. Yep. You know,
there already is a trade. We haven't even added. The Nuggets traded their pick.
I put it in there. I put it in there. 29. Yeah. I mean, if you want to change while we do it, you are more than welcome to. But
I probably will, but we'll see what happens.
Let's get right to number one. The San Antonio Spurs will not be trading this pick. This is a gimme pick. It's with Victor Wembanyama out of France. That's I don't know if you can disagree with that.
You can't. I don't know how you can. I mean, it's already pretty much been announced that he's going number one. But I'm really excited for Wemby. He looks to be really good. The one problem I have is his size. That's been the big question mark. We've seen videos of him playing defense in France against some big dudes, and it seems like he gets out-muscled every single time down low. That's a big problem. But this guy is probably one of the best prospects we've seen since LeBron James. I think he could be great if he can gain some weight and stay healthy. That's a big question mark. Same thing with Chet. It's kind of like Chet all over again, except this guy is 7'4", and I think he has a much bigger bag than Chet does. So we'll see what happens. But, he's definitely going number one, no question.
Yeah, that for sure. Never forget that Kenny Lofton Jr. did drop 40 against him in the.
Shout out my boy, baby. Shout out KLJ.
All right, number two, Charlotte Hornets. They probably will be keeping this pick too, and this is a pick that, although logical for them, I do disagree. It will be Brandon Miller of Alabama. It is kind of set in stone at this point as well. I think Scoot Henderson is the better prospect, but from a logical standpoint, Brandon Miller is the guy to draft here for Charlotte.
Definitely agree. I have Brandon Miller here, number two as well. There's already been reports that the Hornets are solidified on him being the number two guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a phenomenal player. We saw him all last year. In Marsh Mass, he did struggle, yes, but look at it from a season standpoint. He was phenomenal, and he's a 6'9", small forward who can handle the ball. We didn't know much about him coming into the season. Neither of us really saw him on our radars, and he kind of came out of nowhere. And he's been phenomenal at Bama, and he'll do phenomenal things if he goes number two at Charlotte. But I agree. I think Scoot should be number two. I think he's a much better prospect, but fit matters. I mean, to be honest, I don't think fit matters when you're in the top five. I think you should take the best guy available. That's how I would do it, at least. But I think this is a fine pick for the Hornets. They need guys that can help them win soon, and Miller will be a guy, hopefully, that can do that.
Yep. And speaking of Scoot Henderson, he is going number three regardless of whatever the team drafts him. Right now it is the Portland Trail Blazers, but I have a very good feeling at the end of the day. It probably won't be, but that's just my prediction. Although the Blazers are saying all this, all that, I think they're going to ship this and take out. But Scoot Henderson is he'd be the number one pick anywhere if it wasn't for Wemby. I totally agree with him. He's built. He's NBA ready. The only thing that he's not NBA ready for is his jumper, but that should improve with the right coaches.
Agreed. I have Scoot here as well. Depending on if the pick stays or not, doesn't matter. Even if a pick is traded on draft day, we go by who is at number three for us, and we both have Scoot. I know fit matters later down in the round. This is a first round only, by the way. We did not explain that. But if you've been watching for a while, you should know that by now, hopefully. But Scoot's an amazing player. I mean, he was training with Steph Curry this offseason, working on his jumper, which is the big part of his game that we are not too sure. But this guy's explosive. We saw him in the All-Star game festivities. When was that? February, I think it was, or March, one of the two. But he's a hooper. He's a phenomenal player. I wish he went to college. I wish a lot of these guys that went to OTE and G League Ignite went to college. Just unfortunate that there's so many different outlets you can go to now. And this is a big year for those outlets, I'd say. But regardless, Scoot Henderson is going to be a really good player. We'll see what he can do wherever he goes. But I think he's going to stay in Portland, but that's just me. So we'll see.
I agree. Number four, the Houston Rockets have that pick. I'm going to go with Amen Thompson here of Overtime Elite. He's a very good player, wicked athletic. His athleticism is through the roof. He'd be one of the most athletic players in the NBA the moment he steps on court. He has the court vision, he has the ball handling, and he was the dominant ball handler for that Overtime Elite team. I didn't watch too much OT Elite, though, I'll be honest, but I can tell you Amen is going to be the fourth pick.
Yeah, this is our first change of the draft. It's coming at number four. We got Cam Whitmore here from Villanova at number four. Really impressed me this past year at Villanova. Came onto the scene as a freshman. He was probably their best player. Villanova had a down year. What do you mean? What are you laughing at? Was he not their best player last
No, he
year?
was, but
Okay, then I don't know why you're laughing. He had
number
a very good
four.
pro day from what I've seen in California. So I think he's going to be a top five pick, whether he goes to the Rockets or Pistons. I'm not sure, but I think the Rockets fit better for him, and he's still very young. Both these guys are still very young, but I like Whitmore's frame a little bit more. He's a much bigger dude than Amen Thompson, so I'm going to go with Cam Whitmore going number four to the Houston Rockets.
And at number five, I'm going to go with Amen Thompson's twin brother, Azur Thompson. He's a little bit more less skilled, or yeah, I'd say less skilled,
They're
but
still very both skilled, but yes.
yeah, but you get the point. He can't handle as good. He can't pass as good. He's more of a shooter. He's more wired to score, whereas Amen's more wired to facilitate. And Azur's what you want in an NBA wing. He can play defense, and both of them have ugly jump shots, but. Like I said, they should change with the right coaching staff.
That's the goal. That's the goal as always. And when has there ever been a time where two twin brothers get drafted in the top 10 ever or in the lottery ever? Has that ever happened before? Do you know?
yeah, the Morris twins, they got
Oh yeah.
drafted back to back in the lo late end lottery. I think it was 13 or 14, something like
Yeah,
that.
that's right. Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. But these two twins will be much better than the Morris twins, hopefully, when it's all said and done. But
Yeah.
yes, I have Amen Thompson here at number five to the Pistons. The Pistons need a small forward, and Amen Thompson or Cam Whitmore is going there. I think so, at least. But yeah, Amen Thompson looks phenomenal. I really liked. I watched some clips on Instagram and stuff about OTE, and I saw he was absolutely dominating. I don't know how him and his brother ended up on the same team when they redrafted all that stuff, but this guy's the real deal. And it's just unfortunate that this is a very. I think this is a very good draft class.
Oh,
Obviously,
this
even
is.
without Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, this is the real deal. This is I'd say this is much better than last year's class. So I
Yeah,
really
this
do
might
think that
be
a top five, this
I
is
think
up there. This is up
this is
there.
really up there for like
I'd say probably
generations.
top
Yeah.
10 of all time. I mean, we still have to see what happens with these guys. I mean, a lot of things could happen. But right now, coming into this post draft, this could be a top 10 draft class of all time,
Oh
if
yeah.
not higher. That's a good baseline. But yeah, these Thompson twins are really good. Both these guys will go top 10. So I got Amen here at five. We'll see where I got Asar.
Yeah, before I go to number six, if you want to hear more about the NBA draft stuff. Go to the Dirty Water Wagers. We're part of that team too, so we've been doing a couple episodes here and there for them as well. And I was on their NBA draft preview episode. It was super fun. One of the more fun episodes I've had during my time at DWW. But let's get to number six. The Orlando Magic. I have them drafting Cam Whitmore here from Villanova, a 6'8", silky smooth offensive player. He's been working with Carmelo. I've been seeing on all the social media platforms as well. And man, Cam Whitmore overall is my number five prospect. I haven't gone six here, but imagine if the Magic actually do draft him. That lineup of Franz, Paolo, Wendell Carter. I don't even know who their point guard is.
Bancaro? Did you say
I
Bancaro?
said Paolo, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
And
Cole Anthony's
whoever.
a point guard.
It could be Cole Anthony. It could be Jalen. What I'm
Suggs.
trying to say is,
Yeah.
yeah.
They got a lot of good guys there. So, I mean, I don't know.
What I'm trying to say is they're going to be super versatile regardless of who they draft at the
They
sixth
will.
spot. There's going to be an available guy super versatile regardless.
Agreed. And I'm gonna do my first mid-episode switch here. I'll be putting Ausar Thompson here, number six, to the Magic. He's actually 6'9". He's listed as 6'9". Oh no, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong person. Wait, what? I think it just changed on me. He's 6'6" as well. He's a little bit bigger than Amen. I mean, they're both around 215, but both these twins are phenomenal. Even if one of the other falls down to the Magic have a very good pick here. If they get a Thompson twin or Cam Whitmore, they're in a perfect spot. And I like you said, that team's gonna be very versatile next year. Vancaro, Franz Wagner, Wendell Carter, even Bol Bol. I mean, Bol Bol's still a very versatile dude at 7'1" or 7'2", whatever he is. But what do you mean, no?
No,
He's
I
not
said, oh,
versatile.
I said, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No.
I thought you said, oh no. I was like, what are
No,
you talking about? But yeah, these twins are really good. I don't know too much about them either. I mean, I've seen clips on Instagram that can only get you so far. I don't know what comp they're playing against. So hopefully they live up to the hype and they can be the real deal. But yeah, I got a star here at six.
and we could get a live reaction to Kristaps Porzingis. The Boston trade has finally gone through, and we gotta switch it up here because the number 30 pick now belongs to the Wizards and not the Clippers. So I'll be obviously gonna be changing my guy at number 30. But we'll go to number 7 right now. The Indiana Pacers. I'm going with Jairus Walker of Houston here. It's kind of just like a given at this point. The Pacers really love him. He really loves the situation in Indiana, and I think Jairus Walker is gonna be a Draymond Green type player, and he's gonna be in the league for a very long time. He does the 30 work. He does a lot of the little things. He's a huge intangibles guy. I really like him. And obviously that low 3-point percentage, not gonna cut it. But like I said, with the right coaching staff, you're gonna improve your shot.
I mean, you're in the NBA. You should have the right coaching staff to do so. That's the goal. Even college, like co some college teams have really good training as well. I mean, you do it when you're at Bryant. I mean, sure, you're not the best person to do it with, maybe,
Yeah,
but
I am. What do you mean I'm not, man? I'm the best shooting coach around in the Northeast.
I'm just messing around. But yeah, I have Jairus Walker here as well, going to Houston. He is a small ball five, maybe a stretch four if he can work on the three. But his frame doesn't really show how athletic this guy is. He's 6'7", 249 listed, but he's an absolute beast with the versatility. He can jump out the gym, and we saw highlights of that at Houston last year. He was definitely overshadowed by some of the bigger guys there, like Sasser, like Mark. There's a lot of other guys. I just can't think of Houston right now because we haven't talked about college ball in a while, it seems. But Jairus Walker is the real deal. I think he can do some very good stuff with Indiana, who's in a really interesting situation right now. They're just kind of there. They need to get some guys, and I think Walker can help this team elevate to the next level, hopefully.
And at number 8, that belongs to the Washington Wizards. I'm going to go with a safe pick here. Anthony Black of Arkansas. He's been rising on my draft boards and along other mock draft boards as well. He's super versatile. He can do a little bit of everything as well. And the Wizards, they need an extremely safe pick because Johnny Davis was not too good of a pick, and Danny Avia was also not too good of a pick. So they've drafted in this range before. They've most likely missed on them twice. I'm not gonna say Johnny Davis yet because I don't know. He did show signs of life at the end of the year, and I know you want to say stuff about Johnny.
I'm rooting for my boy, but it didn't
You
look
got
like
his
it was going to happen.
Wisconsin jersey, man. Where'd it go?
It's upstairs. I keep forgetting to bring it down. I usually keep it right
Yeah,
here. I
me
forgot
too.
to bring
But
it down.
yeah, Anthony Black at 8 for me.
Yeah, the Wizards need something big. They haven't had it in a while. Will that guy be Anthony Black? Could be. I'm going to go with a guy that you love a lot.
Oh,
And you've been telling me all about this guy. You think he could be top five potentially? Taylor Hendricks of UCF. This guy came out of nowhere. No one really saw him. UCF, he was really good. I mean, that team was not very good, but I think this dude's an absolute beast. He's 6'8", 215. He can really do it all. And I know he's listed as a power forward, but he can shoot the lights out from three. He's going to be a very good stretch four. Maybe, I don't know if he can be a power four. 6'8", yeah, I guess he could be a power four. But yeah, he has really good signs of greatness. He's still very raw. I think he still has a lot of potential left in his game. So I think the Wizards need to take a stab on someone like that. I know a safe pick was probably their best bet, maybe, because I mean they're trading everyone away, everyone's gone for the Wizards. So for their standpoint, maybe the safe pick's the best bet here. But why not take a splash on a dude kind of came out of nowhere? I think he's the real deal, and he's listed ninth on the prospect rankings. So why not take a stab? I'm going Taylor Hendricks.
Yeah, and he's listed obviously ninth in the prospect rankings, but I have him at number 4 in my book. I think he's that
Yeah,
good.
you have him very high. I don't know if he'll be a top five, but I think he's top 10 for sure.
Yeah, for sure he's top 10. I have him at number 9 in the Dirty Water Wagers podcast. I say he's going number 5, but after doing a lot of research, I think he's going to go number 9. As unfortunate as it is for me, but this guy, man, he's what you want to 4 and a small ball 5. He can shoot the 3 really well. He can defend multiple positions. Obviously, he's not going to handle the ball. He's strictly a catch and shoot guy or a post up guy, and in the NBA. But man, I think the traits are there, and he's gonna have a very long career in the NBA as well.
Agreed. And my number nine pick, I'm going to make a switch. I'm going to go with Anthony Black here from Arkansas. You talked about him a lot, but he's a 6'6 point guard. He had good flashes his freshman year at Arkansas. I mean, that team was pretty underwhelming, but I mean, we're looking at it from a prospect point, not a team point. But this guy, he knows how to pass the ball. I mean, he's a really good passer, a really good facilitator. And that's something the Jazz need, or whoever's at nine. Yeah, the Jazz. Yeah, I mean, the Jazz need a lot. This team went into rebuild mode, have Lauri Markkanen doing his thing. But Anthony Black could be the guy for them. He can shoot the three a little bit. He needs to work on those jumpers. But yeah, he's a very good guy. And was being a 6'6 point guard who can facilitate, that signs of could be a very good prospect when it's all said and done. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I really liked his game even before he got to Arkansas. Definitely seen him being on a lot of boards. So I think he's going to do some good stuff wherever he ends up going.
And rounded out the top 10, the Dallas Mavericks. I got them selecting Grady Dick of Kansas. The Mavs just need a lot of role players, man. A lot of good role players. Regardless of position, I think Grady Dick's probably the best role player left out of the rest of the field. That's just me.
Yeah, when I think of Mavs, I think of needing a backup point guard who can maybe contribute off the bench. So I went with Jalen Hood-Chifino here from Indiana. This guy was a problem last year. I really like his game a lot watching him last year in Indiana. He can shoot the three ball pretty well, and he's a very explosive guard. He can work in his passing. I'd say he's more score first than pass first guard, I'd say personally. But I mean, if you're playing with Trayce Jackson-Davis, I mean, you got to pass the ball at some point, and he did. But yeah, I think the Mavs need someone like this. I think he'd be a very good player. He's still really, really, really young for a freshman class. So I think he can do some good stuff. A ton of potential left in his game. Excited to see what he can do in the NBA.
And at 11, the Magic select again. I'm going with an extreme reach here. I'm going with Kobe Bufkin of Michigan. This is a guy that has really raised his stock in the workouts and in the combine. And this is a guy that's a hard worker. He's a big time scorer, big time shooter. He does a lot of stuff well on the offensive end. And I think the Magic, with the group of guards they currently have right now, they could take a stab at it.
Yeah, I'm going to take a big leap here as well. And I don't know much about this guy at all. I know he played with Wemby. That's all I know. So I'm going to go with Bilal Koulibaly out of France. He also played on the Metropolitan 94s, I think it is, with Wemby. This dude's 6'8", 194, which is a little bit of a problem for being 6'8", but he has a 7'3 wingspan. And he can shoot the ball pretty well for a small forward he's listed as. This guy is a really big boomer bust guy, and I think a team like the Thunder, or oh, this is the Magic's pick. I still think a team like the Magic. I should have changed it.
You
I
can
feel like a
still
team.
change it. You want to change it?
I'm keeping it. I'm sticking with my guts. I think the Magic could take another guy to help off the bench and be a boomer bust guy. I probably would have them taking a guard if I realized it was the Magic. But hey, you never know what this guy can do. He's 18 years old. Ton of potential left. Why not take a flyer on this guy? So yeah, I got Bilal Koulibaly going number 11.
Yeah, I have him going number 12. You are 100% right. The Thunder can't take a chance on him. They probably will take a chance on him because the Thunder, they've taken a chance on multiple and multiple and multiple guys.
I should have changed.
I mean, you can still change it. I'll let
No,
you
no,
change
no,
it.
no, no. You're just giving me pity. I don't want pity. I want to stick with my gut. Keep going.
And according to my research, the Thunder have given him a draft promise at number 12. So
Lovely. I did not
that
know
is,
that.
hey man, he could go before, but if he's still there
True.
at 12, the Thunder have promised they're going to draft him. So I did my
All right.
research.
So it's one not so it's one nothing min, I guess, right now.
It's
I'm gonna
4-3. What do you mean, bro? The
What do
top
you
three
mean?
is so obvious.
Oh, you're right. I wasn't thinking about the top three. But yeah, my number 12 pick, I'm going with Grady Dick here from Kansas. This guy is phenomenal. Really love his game. He's still very young as well, ton of potential, but this guy can shoot the lights out from three. 40.3% from three last year in his freshman year at Kansas. 5.7 attempts per game as well. And he's more of a three guy, don't get me wrong. But he can attack the rim when he needs to. He can pass when he needs to. But this guy is still really young. I really like what he's doing. He's just a really cool player to watch. Got a really cool charisma to him. See his TikToks all the time. Shout out to G Dick. TikToks are phenomenal, by the way. So yeah, I think the Thunder can take a guy like him and maybe blossom him into something. I know they do have Jalen Williams from the Santa Clara one. At that role as well, but Grady Dick can definitely find his way into that starting lineup maybe in a couple of years from now.
Yeah, and at number 13 is the Toronto Raptors. God knows what the Raptors are doing right now. Are
I have
they
no idea.
trading? Are they not trading? But I don't care. I think they're drafting this guy regardless. It's Jalen Hood-Schifino of Indiana. Speaking of six kicks point guards that could do everything, he fits whatever the Raptors want to do super well, regardless of whether they trade their stars or not. He's just versatile, and that's what the Raptors like, regardless of tanking or trying to win or whatever they do. They like versatile guys. And he's super versatile.
Speaking of versatile guys, I have the Raptors taking Jet Howard from Michigan, 6'8" shooting guard. This guy can shoot the lights out. Raptors need shooting. They didn't really have it much last year, which was kind of disappointing for them. Even if they go into a rebuild, why not take a shooter like Jet Howard? 36.8% last year from the 3-point line. But this guy can really do it all. He's a pretty good defender from what I've seen. I didn't watch too much Michigan games because we don't really like Michigan, if you didn't know. But this guy, I mean, he has a really well-rounded skill set. I mean, if you're the son of a former NBA player and a Juwan Howard, I think you're going to be probably a lottery pick in my eyes. So I think they'll take a chance on Jet Howard here. And do you not even have him in your first round? Oh,
Oh,
you
I
do.
do. He's
You have him way down there.
yeah, I do.
Gee.
Just a hunch, but
Yeah, no, I respect it. I respect it.
yeah, number 14, I'm going to go with Derek Lively, the second of Duke. The Pelicans need a backup center, and it's probably the best center in the draft. The best true center in the draft, I should say. Outside of, yeah, Wemby, second best true center of the
Is Wemby considered a center? I mean, I feel like he could play power
I
forward.
just consider him like a unicorn, bro. Yeah, he's
I feel like,
position.
nah, I was gonna say Lively could, but nah, Lively can't
No,
play power
Lively's
forward.
a he's a he's a strict five. There's he
Yeah,
can't play anything else.
I agree. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have the Pelicans taking Jordan Hawkins here from UConn. Stunning March Madness run for him. He really rise up the boards due to that March Madness run. So I think that helped out his stock a ton. But even watching him before the March Madness run, he's a phenomenal player. 16.5 points per game, four rebounds, 1.5 assists. And the 3-point game is one of his biggest things. His jumper, by the way, one of the best I've seen. His jumper is pure cash. It's just so smooth with it. But I think this guy can be a really big piece off the bench for this Pelicans team. We don't know what's going on with them. We're not an NBA podcast. We're a college basketball podcast. So we're not going to really discuss what's going on with the Pelicans. But Hawkins can help out this team a lot. Him, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, they got a lot of good young guys that can make a really good core
For
alongside.
now,
For now. For now, I
it
agree.
could change tonight and night.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely could. But I think Hawkins is a solid player. He's going to be just outside the lottery. But this guy will be going mid first round at best.
We're now halfway through, about to be number 15, Atlanta Hawks. I'm going with Keyson Wallace of Kentucky here. This guy's just a hooper. He can play the one or the two. He's a dog defensively. His shot needs a little work, but he's just a flat out hooper, man. He can you put him in on the court and he'll make things happen. He good things always happen when he's on the court. And the Hawks, I don't know what's going on with their backcourt, but one of them could be shipped or DeJounte Murray could be shipped. We don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. We're not gonna get through that since we're college basketball podcasters. But he'd be ideal third guard in Atlanta.
Agreed. And for my pick here at 16, I got Derek Lively. No, 15, I'm sorry. Derek Lively Jr. here from Duke. You talked about him one pick ago. Oop, hold on. I just lost my draft. Oh, there we go. We're back. But yeah, Lively. We don't really know what's going on with the Hawks. Like you said, we're not going to talk about it. But Clint Capela, he's old. I do know that. And Onyeka Okongwu, I love him a lot, but he's a little bit of an undersized center, if I said so myself. Derek Lively, really young, a lot of potential, 7'1", and he's a very good rim protector. We saw him do a lot of good stuff around the rim at Duke. He was injured for a good amount of the year, but when this guy, even before that, though, in high school, this guy's an absolute problem, and I hope it translates because I really do like his game a lot. I think he could be a very good player when it's all said and done, but it's really hard to tell right now. He doesn't have much experience in the college level, but seeing him from high school and before that, I think he's still a real deal first rounder. So
Oh,
I got
yeah.
him here at 15.
He's shooting threes now in his workouts, man.
If he
So,
get if he can if he can consistently shoot the three ball or get to around 30%, that's solid. I would definitely take that from a 7'1" dude who isn't really known for shooting outside of the paint.
And at number 16, the Utah Jazz, I think this is a pretty logical pick. It is Nick Smith Jr. of Arkansas. The talent is 100% there. I have him a lot lower than 16 in my prospect board due to his injury concerns, but the talent is there. He's one of the best players in this draft class, but obviously the injury concerns have him slipping down tremendously, and I think the Jazz could take a chance on this. 100%, the Jazz can take a chance.
Agreed. And since I forgot about his injury, I think that will play a part into his pick. So I'm going to make another switch. I'm going to put Kobe Bufkin up here at number 16. Obviously, the guard from Michigan, really good. He's definitely shown good flashes. He has a 6'8 wingspan. He can shoot the three pointer, 35.5% on 3.7 attempts. I'm excited to see where he goes. I think he's a really interesting draft pick. Because there's not much about him that we've seen that's like phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, he's a very solid player. Once again, we don't watch Michigan that much, but I haven't seen too many, wow, this guy's gonna be really good moments from him. But I know he's a very good prospect. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I haven't seen that wow moment. Like some of these top 10, top 15 guys, I've seen wow moments from them, or maybe not a couple of them, but like most of them I have. I don't know what I'm saying, but anyways. I think Bufkin could be a very good, solid role player for this, wherever he goes. I have him at the Jazz, but we'll see what happens. I got Bufkin.
Number 17, I got Jordan Hawkins of UConn going to the Lakers here. I really like this fit. I think it just works out for them. And Hawkins is an absolute hooper. He's a plug and play talent. They could use him anywhere on the court, and he's got a very high floor. Not a very high ceiling, but his floor is already extremely high.
Yeah, talk about high ceilings though. I got Keyson Wallace going here, point guard from Kentucky last year. Saw a lot of his game. He was very solid. Kentucky down year, you know, but this Keyson Wallace fella, very good player, even in high school, very good player. And I think he can help out the Lakers a lot. He's a pretty good guard. I mean, we saw a lot of Kentucky a lot being down, but Keyson Wallace always seemed to step up in the big time moments and facilitating. So I think the Lakers take a stab on a guy like him who can have a very high ceiling. I got Keyson Wallace here.
Number 18, I got Noah Clowney here of Alabama. I think this is my sleeper of the draft. I think he could go top 15. I think he's potentially better than Derek Lively in terms of the two and three centers. But this guy's a great two-way center as well. The Heat need a backup center, 100%. If I'm saying Omar Yurcevic could be getting Cody Zeller's minutes, then there's a problem for the Heat. So they need to draft a center, whether it's Lively or Clowney, one of those two guys, and I'll give them an A plus. I'll be completely honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I don't know what they're going to do this offseason. They got a lot of moves they can make. So I'm going to have them taking Nick Smith Jr., best guy on the board, I'd say, here at 18. Yeah, we really don't know what's going to happen with his injuries. But when he does play, when he's fully healthy, this guy could probably be a lottery pick, if not higher. This guy has a really high ceiling still. And I think his floor is relatively high. Maybe it's a little bit lower due to his injuries. But when he plays, phenomenal player. We saw that in high school, too. He was a five-star for a reason, top 10 recruit for a reason. This guy's the real deal when he's healthy. We'll just see if he can stay healthy. And if he can, watch out.
And number 19, the Golden State Warriors. This one is a very interesting one. They could go any direction with
Oh, yeah.
this. And I was considering maybe 8 to 10 different guys with this pick, but I'm going to go with the guy that you don't even have in your first round right now. And that is
I
Kobe
don't.
Jones of Xavier. He's another extremely high floor guy. He has a pretty high ceiling as well. He does a little bit of everything on the court, especially at Xavier. He filled up the stat sheet, and I think the Warriors could use his two-way potential here.
Thank you. I just added him later in the round. I got Keontae George here from Baylor. This guy in high school, again, the real deal. IMG, dude was an absolute hooper. Wanted him to go to Texas, ended up going to Baylor. Regardless, very good year. Baylor was a little bit interesting this year, the three-guard play. But Keontae George stepped up big when you needed him. He can shoot the lights out from three if he gets going. He's a very explosive guard. He can work pick and rolls, facilitate. I think the Warriors just need a guy that can help off the bench at this point. So I'm going to go with Keontae George.
Now for the 20th pick, the Houston Rockets. I'm gonna have them go with Leonard Milley of G League Ignite. I've not seen too much film on this guy, I'm gonna be completely honest, but from what I've read, from what I've seen, he is extremely raw. He is a four. He is extremely raw, and the Rockets are gonna take a chance on this one.
Definitely
That's it.
agree. I got him here as well. 6'9", small forward listed. He averaged 17 and 10 in the G League as a 19-year-old. Still a ton of potential left. Still a lot of upside. Whoever takes him is gonna hopefully, in hopes that he blossoms, which I definitely think he has a really good shot at doing. And why not have that team be the Rockets? So I think it's a perfect fit. I'm excited to see what he can do. I don't know too much about him either.
And at 21, the Nets have back-to-back picks here. I'm gonna assume they're gonna trade one, but that's besides the point. I'm gonna go with Keontae George here of Baylor. I'm not too big on George. I don't know why. I mean, I can't tell you a reason that I'm too low on him, but I'm pretty low on him. But I see him going 21 to the Nets. That's all I can really say.
There you go. Nets 21. I got Chris Murray, Iowa. You saw what Keegan did a couple of years ago. That was about 2 years ago, and I guess now. And Chris stepped into the shoes, pretty much did the same thing. I mean, he averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds. He did it all for that Iowa team, and he won't be as good as Keegan Murray is, I'd say, but you never know. But I think Chris Murray still has a lot of potential left in his game. So I'm excited to see what team takes a stab on him. Excited to see that brother rivalry. Or maybe he goes to the Kings. You never know.
22. I got Jaime Jaquez Jr. of UCLA. His stock's been increasing pretty slowly, but it's slow and steady, and he's made my way up to 22. And this guy, you know what he's gonna bring to the table. He brings toughness. He brings a lot of everything, and he's got an extremely high floor. I think he might have the highest floor in the draft, in my opinion. Not the highest ceiling, probably one of the lower ceilings, but you know what he's gonna do on a game by game basis.
Yeah, definitely agree. Very high floor for him. He's a phenomenal player. He's 22, but he can be like an Ochai Agbaji, help a team right away. I know Agbaji's on the Jazz, but he still contributed for the Jazz whenever he could. Hawkins could do the same for a team that's trying to get over the hump. And I think and the Nets is a perfect fit for him. Excited to see him go to the draft. UCLA, shout out.
Yeah,
We
23.
gotta get going too. We have 4 minutes. We gotta get rolling.
I'm aware, but we did start
All right,
this.
to get rolling.
We could start it up and do it
Oh,
again.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. That's fine.
All right, 23, the Portland Trail Blazers. I have a very, very, very good feeling this is not going to be the Blazers pick by the end of the day. What do you think?
Don't know. I really don't know anymore about the Blazers. I just don't know.
If you haven't listened to the Dirty Water Wagers podcast, Matt and I got in a really heated
Yeah,
discussion about
very, very heated.
it. Very heated. It was it
It
was
was funny. It was really
it
funny.
was about 10 minutes long, but it was super intense to both of us. But I have them drafting Chris Murray of Iowa right here, right now. Extremely high floor. He does a lot of everything as well. This is one of the guys I think is gonna make a lot more. Be a big impact in the NBA. I think he's going to be an all-rookie second team. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not a bad take
Especially
at all.
since how Keegan played, they're literally the same exact player. And
Keegan's a little better, but I mean, he's still the same exact player. I agree.
you put like Keegan was in a simple. You put Chris Murray in a simplified role, just like Keegan. I think he does the same exact stuff.
Absolutely. And for the Blazers here at 23, I got them taking Noah Clowney from Bama. You talked about him earlier. You have him when? You have him 18. So I got him 7 or 6 picks later. This guy's really good. He's a really good defensive player. He reminds me of De'Ron Sharpe a couple of years ago. It's the same exact build. Clowney might be a little bit bigger, honestly. But both these guys are really good defensive anchors. This guy's 6'10. I mean, at 6'10, 210, being that good, and he's a 7'2 wingspan, by the way, and being that good defensively, a team's going to take a shot on you. And I think that whoever gets him is getting in for a very good backup big man. I think he do a lot of good things, and he still has a lot of potential left, still relatively young. So I'm excited to see what Clowney can do. Really liked him in Alabama last year. Really solid player.
At 24 for the Sacramento Kings, I wish Chris Murray could be here, because they'd both be legit on the Kings. But I'm
He
gonna
still
go,
could. I mean, you never know. He still could.
I'm gonna go with the first mid-major player. There's gonna be a couple more after this one, but I'm going with Brandon
Course there is.
Podsenyk of Santa Clara here. Man, this guy was legit, and little lefty. He does a lot of everything, but what impressed me the most was his rebound. He averaged 8 rebounds a game as a 6'5" guard, and that just shows toughness. And I think the Kings, they really need toughness and 3-point shooting, and he brings both of those aspects to the Kings, or to the court.
Call me crazy, but I'm taking Derrique Whitehead here at number 24. This guy, it's all about potential. And the Kings, they're a solid team right now, and they're going to try and get a guy to blossom, maybe. It might not be the best fit, but I think Derrique Whitehead, when he's healthy, is a phenomenal player. And we saw that in high school once again. I think high school success has a lot, not a lot, but it has a very good, fair value in this draft. With a lot of these guys being hurt. So I think Whitehead's still a phenomenal player. At 6'6", he can do it all. Really good 3-point shooter as well. Really good passer, but I think he's the real deal. So I got him going 24.
At number 25, this is the Memphis Grizzlies pick. I'm going to give this to Jet Howard of Michigan here, just because he's going to go in the first round regardless. While I do have a second round grade on him, it's two. I don't know. He's a mix between a two and a three, but I don't really see him in either role. I don't really see a role for him in the NBA, to be honest with you. I know he's got a wicked potential. He's got versatility, but I don't know. I have a second round grade on Jet Howard.
Nuts. I have him going 13. You have him going 25. That's nuts
And I
to
have a
me.
second. I think he should be in the 30 to 40 range. That's just my view.
I don't agree. I don't agree. But we'll keep going forward. Here, Grizzlies 25. I got them taking Olivier Maxime Prosper out of Marquette. This guy was phenomenal last year. 7'1" wingspan, 6'7". Very versatile guy. He's a forward. Yeah, but he can be a really good defender, and he's a really fast, versatile player. And we saw a lot of that March Madness, even in the Big East tournament. This guy's the real deal. That Marquette team was stacked, but Prosper was a very key piece to that success for Marquette. And I think this guy is still very young as well, by the way. This guy can be the real deal, especially when Dillon Brooks leaves Memphis. Once again, we won't talk about it about NBA terms, but he can fit in very nicely for a backup small forward.
Oh yeah, 100% agree as well, and that's why I'm gonna make my first mid-round switch here. I'm gonna put him at 26
Took you a
here.
while, bud. Took you a while.
Olivier Maxence Prosper, is that what you said?
Olivier, Maxine. I think it's Maxine, or
Yeah,
maybe it's
Maxence.
Maxine. Oh, it's definitely Maxine, though. Oh,
Yeah,
well.
all right.
We apologize if you're
From
watching.
Marquette, in my opinion, he is a future All-NBA defensive guy. But the offensive end, it's going to show whether or not he's going to stay on the court to prove that he's an all defensive player. But yeah, like you said, man, this guy's defense is on a whole nother level. I mean, this guy locked down anywhere from ones to fives in the Big East at Marquette, and his defensive potential is just ridiculous. He's just got to make a couple threes to stay on the court.
Yes, and number 26, I'm going to be doing a mid-episode switch again. I'm going to be going with Bryce Sensabaugh from Ohio State going here. I like his game a lot. He came into this year at Ohio State and was a really key piece to their success. I know they didn't have a great year, but he was a sub-80 prospect in that class of 2022, and he blossomed out of nowhere. And he ended up working on his perimeter defense, and he was pretty good from the three. He shot off 40.5% from the 3-point line. really good. 6'6" small forward, but he's a really good facilitator and a really good ball guy, ball dominant guy, even if you needed him. And the Pacers just need guys that can blossom into something. I don't know what's gonna happen with Sensabaugh. I don't know if he can blossom into a barely big star, but I think he can blossom into a very solid player. So I'm going Sensabaugh at number 26.
Now, number 27, this belongs to the Charlotte Hornets. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a throwback to our very first mock draft. It was the 30, it was the last pick of the first round towards the end of the episode. And I decided to go with Kessler Edwards of Pepperdine. And that turned out really, really poorly. He ended up going in the mid 40s.
It wasn't that bad. It
No, it
wasn't that
wasn't
bad.
bad. It sounded pretty logical, but.
I was just kidding. It was pretty bad.
You made me feel good, but then
I
I'm
know. Sorry.
but
Sorry. We're going up against each other. We're going up against each other. No, I like this pick, though.
speaking of Pepperdine, I'm going with a guy that I'm super on. I mean, this is a guy like I'm texting you. I won't shut up about this guy, and you know that very well that I won't shut up about this guy. I think he's a top 20 player in this draft. It's Maxwell Lewis of Pepperdine, and this guy's added 15 pounds of muscle to his frame. This guy, in a simplified role, I mean, he was asked to carry way too much of the load in Pepperdine because it's Pepperdine. Who else is on Pepperdine besides Maxwell Lewis? Can you name me one player outside of Maxwell Lewis on Pepperdine?
I could have in the season. Now I probably can't.
Oh, I probably still can't name you a guy on Pepperdine besides Maxwell Lewis, but this guy in a simplified role is going to be a good elite role player with the potential to be a star. I'm telling you guys right now, and the Charlotte Hornets are getting an absolute steal here. Or anyone that gets Maxwell Lewis is getting an absolute steal here.
I can name you someone on Marquette. I mean, Pepperdine now.
Who?
Houston Mallette. Houston Mallett.
Okay,
You
go ahead.
forgot about him, man. He was
All
pretty
right.
good. I mean, he was pretty good. I had to look it up. Yeah, I forgot about him, but he's pretty good. But regardless, that's not what we're talking about. 27, we're on. Yes, I did make a couple mid-episode switches, but we'll just say that I had this all along. And I'm taking a flyer here once again. Another international flyer. It's funny. All the international flyers this year projected to go in the first round are all from France. I wonder if that's the Wembanyama effect or not. I don't really know who else. There's that one guy you showed me. Where's he from again? Greece? No. You know who I'm
Australia,
talking about? Yeah, yeah,
Australia,
yeah.
that
There's
guy.
not that many. I feel like there's not many international guys. Maybe that's because of OT Elite. Maybe that's because of G League Ignite. But
I
I'm gonna
mean,
go with Ryan. What do you say?
I mean, there are, but this draft class is just so deep that
Yeah.
these international guys are probably just all second round drafts and stash because this draft class, man, this draft class has a chance to be a generational draft class. I mean, you look at all the names. Top to bottom, even 1 to 60, like all 60 of these guys could have an elite role in the NBA at some point in their careers. Like that's just how good this draft class is coming into the draft. It's just wow.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's all about potential. It's all about who can blossom and they fit in their roles. I'm gonna go with Ryan Rupert here from France as well. I don't know if he played with Wembanyama. I'm gonna assume maybe. I really don't know, to be honest. I just looked up his highlights. I honestly couldn't tell. I just saw France international team. That's all I really saw. But this guy, he's a project. He's gonna be someone that no one really knows about coming into this draft. I think a team like the Hornets, I know they really can't afford it, but late at 27, why not afford it? I mean, you already have a top three pick. You're probably going to get Brandon Miller. Why not take a stab here and take a guy that you can maybe develop into something big? He's still a 6'6", small forward, but I think he can play shooting guard. 7'3" wingspan, though. Really good defender. A really good defender. And if he can get his shooting up, I think this can be a very sneaky good pick for the Hornets here at 27. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to go with Ryan Rupert here from France.
Yeah, and speaking of flyer, I'm going with Utah Jazz taking once again another flyer. That would be Derrick Whitehead of Duke. He was the number one player out of high school, right?
Lively was,
Well, he.
I think Derek was three. I'll look it up and you keep
Well,
going.
yeah. Regardless, Derrick Whitehead did not have the season that many were expecting he was going to have at Duke. He was a role player. He was not a star, and he's probably not going to be in the star in the NBA. for all you Tariq Whitehead fans, he's not going to be a star in the NBA, but he has a chance to be an
No,
elite.
you don't know that. How do you know that?
Of course, I know that. I'm a prospect expert, man.
Okay. We'll
But
see what happens then. But okay.
He is an elite catch and shoot stretch four, and he showed that at Duke. I mean, while his percentages weren't there, his catch and shoot percentages were there, and the Jazz could take a flyer on this. I mean, he has star potential. Obviously, it's really really hidden right now. But the Jazz can take a chance on this, and whether or not he's a star or not, I think he's going to be a good role player in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he definitely can be better than a role player. I think he can. It really just depends on his health. I think it's a big problem with him. But yeah, he was a number two recruit, according to 24/7. Nick Smith was number one, and Lively was three. Filipkowski was four, and Dylan Mitchell was five. I don't know how accurate this is, but I mean, there's a lot of different sources out there. I'm going off 24/7. That was the first one that popped up. But 28, I think the Jazz take a safer pick here. They have a pick earlier in the draft. I have them taking Jalen Huchefino. You have them taking Hendricks. They also have 16 as well. So why not pick a safer pick here and who can definitely shine in a higher light? I'm going to go with Brandon Posmeski here from Santa Clara, my only mid-major guy, unfortunately. I know you love mid-majors. In terms of draft, they're either hit or miss. And I think this could be a big hit for them. This guy lights out from three. Lights out, lights out, lights out. Probably one of the best three-point shooters I've seen in a long time. 43.8% on 5.8 attempts. And he averaged 20 points a game, 8.8 rebounds, 3.7 assists. I know it's Santa Clara, but they play Gonzaga, they play BYU, they play St. Mary's, they play some good teams. So I think Posmeski can be a very good player. Shout out to him. I'm really glad he transferred out of Illinois. It helped his stock a ton, helped his entire career a ton.
Oh,
And
no
it
one know
definitely
who he
showed.
was at Illinois. And no one know who he
But
was
yeah.
at Illinois, man.
Yeah, we knew who he was, but
Yeah,
he
of
didn't get
course.
much PT. But I mean, I'm really glad that he blossomed into the star and hopefully going to be a first round pick. But he'll get drafted regardless if it's end of the first or early second. You never know where he can end up, but he'll get drafted. So congrats to him.
Yeah, and Santa Clara, they could produce NBA guys. I mean, they produced Jalen Williams last year, who was an All-NBA rookie second teamer, and he's going to have a very good career. And same coach, he produced Steve Nash as well. So, you know, they can produce, they produce guys, man.
They might have the most picks out of the West Coast Conference. I don't know if anyone from Gonzaga is going to get drafted. I mean, it could be a
Oh,
second
no,
rounder.
Jalen Strother is going to get drafted in the second round.
Oh, yeah, he'll probably be late. But, I mean, hey, the only first-round pick in the West Coast Conference coming from Santa Clara, big dub for Santa Clarites.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, man, I got Max Lewis in there as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm so sorry.
All right, but 29, we're gonna go to the Ohio Valley Conference for this one here. And obviously this 29th pick now belongs to the Denver Nuggets in a very weird trade. I mean, this caught me way off guard. It caught you off guard too. I mean, you were like, what are they doing?
Well, it makes sense because Bruce Brown is expected to leave in free agency, so that's why they did it. But I don't know. I feel like I don't know what the Pacers were doing, to be honest, but I think it's more the Pacers than the Nuggets, but
Yeah, for
regardless,
sure.
continue.
And I'm going to go with a player super similar to Bruce Brown, who is who's climbing draft boards as well. And out of the Ohio Valley Conference, that would be Ben Shepherd from Belmont. I mean, the way this guy moves without the ball, and he doesn't need the ball to make an impact. He wasn't even the point guard. I mean, he was, but, like, he wasn't at the same time. Like, he would give the ball, and all of a sudden, he's open for a wide-open layup. He's under a couple screens, and he'll hit an open three. I mean, this guy could score any way. And, man, this guy is – I think he's going to have a very long career. But with these Belmont guys, you don't really know because the last one, Dylan Windler's, he's out of the league.
I remember him in college.
He
Oh,
was
my
a
goodness.
demon, man. He was good.
Absolutely amazing. But Shepard's been really good, though. No, I'm thinking of his teammate that transferred to Florida. But yeah, Shepard was really
Will
good. That
Richard,
Belmont.
yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, I got Nuggets 29. How fitting is this? I don't know if it makes sense, but I'm going to have them taking Christian Braun's teammate here, Jalen Wilson out of Kansas. I know it might not make sense, but why not? I
I
mean,
see it.
the Nuggets are in win now mode. why not take a guy who's been winning? Christian Braun's been winning. They took him. They won a championship. Why not take Jalen Wilson, who just won a championship 2 years ago? I mean, they need guys that can win now. And I think Jalen Wilson is that best guy right here that can win now. Really good shooter. He was absolutely dominant this year at Kansas. He was one of the best players in the nation. And I think this is a really good pick for the Nuggets here, a great fit. And Wilson, I know he's relatively older now, but he still has a lot of potential left. I know his floor is one of the highest besides Jaime Jaquez, I'd say. But he can provide some good quality stuff in this little Nuggets window of dynasty, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, I really like that pick. I didn't think of him. I'm going to be
Well, I just realized, like, Nuggets traded that. I'm like,
he,
oh,
he
man.
plays
That makes a
exactly.
lot of sense.
He's built like Bruce Brown. He kind of plays exactly like Bruce Brown, so I see the fit there.
That's a snipe of the century if that happens. That's a snipe of the century.
Oh, maybe. I think Ben Shepard's the better pick here.
Oh, okay. We'll see
All
what
right,
happens. I never know.
Number 30 is now belonging to the Washington Wizards. And I did have Andre Jackson here, but unfortunately, he is going to have to fall out of my first round. Whoever gets him in the second round, I guarantee you they're going to have a very good role player. He is the definition of
That's
probably,
phenomenal.
man. He's,
Phenomenal second rounders.
We'll go with some second round sleepers that we have after our 30th pick. But I'm going to go with Bryce Sensabaugh here from Ohio State. And like you said, the Wizards are rebuilding at this point, and they need bucket. I mean, who can create their own shot on the Wizards now? Like, I don't know. But Bryce Sensabaugh here makes super a lot of sense for the especially for the Washington Wizards who are rebuilding now.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I like that pick a lot. I wish I didn't put him on here. I wish I snuck him in so you wouldn't have saw that I had him. But my 30th pick, it's an interesting one. I'm going to take Colby Jones from Xavier. I think he's a first rounder. He's going to be a fringe first rounder. There's a lot of guys, honestly, that are fringe first rounders, but it's just a matter of who we think gets the nod over the other. It's as simple as that. We don't know what's going to happen. A lot of different things could happen, as we said earlier. But I think Colby Jones solidified himself as a very good player at Xavier last year. He's a really good shooter, really good facilitator. He can get to the paint when he needs to. He got to work on his defense. His defense did improve this past year, I'd say. But I think he's a really good prospect to have. His floor is relatively high. His ceiling is really untapped. We don't really know where he can go. We don't know if he'll stay or he can blossom. He's relatively older in this draft, per se. There's a lot of young dudes in here, which is kind of crazy. A lot of 8, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Colby Jones is relatively older in that sense, but I still think he's a lot left in the tank to improve, and I think the Wizards could take a stab on him, but they could do a lot of things. So I really don't know. I'm going to go Colby Jones. I think he deserves a first-round nod.
Mm-hmm. And are there any second-round sleepers you have or undrafted guys that you think you have a little hunch on? Because I know I have one.
Say it then.
Jalen Clark.
Yeah, you're right.
He was going to be a second rounder if he didn't tear his Achilles, but he's going to go undrafted, and whoever wins his sweepstakes is going to have a very good guy. I mean, he's already – his defense already at an NBA level. I can tell you that. I mean, he doesn't care about anything except defense. You kind of need those guys in the NBA now. But his offense has taken – massive strides in his 3 years at UCLA. And it's really unfortunate that he did rupture his Achilles, because I really thought UCLA could have done some damage in the NCAA tournament if he didn't go down. And I think
whoever. You know what? I'll take his teammate. I'll take Amari Bailey as my sleeper. He did some good stuff in the combine, and he's still really young. Jalen Clark, you've loved him. I know you've loved him, and it was really unfortunate to see him go down. I'm sorry I cut you off, by the way. But Amari Bailey, man, he was the top something prospect, went to UCLA, thought he was going to be the real deal. He showed glimpses of it, but I don't think he was ready for the spotlight. I'm honestly surprised he decided not to come back to college like Bona did. But I think he's ready. I think he just needs the right coaching and the right things to go his way, right mentors. And I think he can be still a really good player. We saw it at Sierra Canyon. He was filthy. He was really good. And UCLA, we saw flashes. I think he could maybe be a lead sleeper. And, actually forgot about Imani Bates too. If you want to talk about him, you can. Imani Bates, man, I'm telling you, he's still here, man. I think he's still here. Yes, don't shake your head. No,
I still
think he can do some good stuff.
G League superstar. G League superstar. G League superstar.
No, He'll be in the league. A team will take a chance on him. He's still really young too, and I know the path he chose and happened with wasn't the best. I mean, stuff happens. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen. I think Amani Bates is still a really good player. I mean, we all thought he was gonna be the next KD. He won't be that per se, but I still think he'd be a really good player. I really do.
Yeah, and another guy that I really like. It's a guy you really like too in college. And
Let me
he
take a
goes,
guess. Let me take a guess.
yeah.
What conference?
Yeah, that's gonna give it
Definitely, it's
away.
definitely, oh, it's definitely someone on Texas. Dylan Hunter. Oh, he's
That's
coming
Sir
back.
Jabari Rice, bro. Come on now.
Ah,
Dude, he's
man.
man, he played in the Portsmouth Invitational, and then he got the invite to the G League in Combine, and then from the G League Combine, he went to the NBA Combine. So him and Hunter Tyson, they were the only two to make it from the Portsmouth Invitational, which is considered like potential like overseas G League players, and make it all the way to NBA Combine. Now both of them projected they here get their names called in the NBA draft. And obviously Hunter Tyson, I know you could say some stuff about him, but Sir Jabari Rice really showed that he is a pro and he's gonna have a very good role on an NBA team. And I really believe that. I think even with this weird jump shot, he's gonna be a rotation player.
I mean, I would hope so. I love him a lot. Min's laughing because he just goofed up. But anyways, yeah, this draft class is loaded. I mean, we've seen top to bottom, really good talent. I know the top end talent is phenomenal, probably one of the best we've seen in a while. But even outside the top five, top 10, even outside the lottery, there's still a lot of big flyers, a lot of big sleepers. And a lot of guys that can blossom into some big stuff this year. So draft is tomorrow. For those of you, I think this will be out tonight, probably, right?
Yeah, by tonight.
Yeah. So you'll see our picks and make your picks if you want, and we can compare. Min and I will be comparing, and the draft will be on until the start to the finish for me. I'm really excited for the draft. I know it's a long time before the NBA starts. We like the NBA, but we like college much, much better. But it's really exciting to see these guys that we've seen in college, and I mean, even in G League Ignite and OTE clips and stuff like that. And Wembanyama obviously is a different story. Seeing these guys go to the next level and do great stuff, it's just really cool to see. Saw with Christian Brown, that's the best example I have from last year. The dude just won a championship off Kansas. The dude just won a championship with the Nuggets in the NBA. And he provided good minutes, good quality minutes for them. It's stuff like that that we love to see. I know a lot of those guys are still blossoming. Bankera was phenomenal last year. A lot of other guys as well. But yeah, it's just really cool to see them play in college and see them keep elevating their game. It's just really cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. You said it best. I'm super excited for this draft class. I mean, can't say enough about this draft class, but yeah, that should wrap it up. A lot of editing to do. No
That's your
why.
fault, not mine.
But yeah, I'll let you wrap things up.
Yes, and draft grades, we'll do those at the conclusion of the draft. We expect there will be trades, but once again, we're going off the player in that number spot. So even if Victor Wembanyama gets traded, if he's the first pick, then it's still Victor Wembanyama. That's a point for us. We'll compare, and this is the rubber match, so we'll see what goes on. But draft grades will be out after the draft, probably on Friday or Saturday. It'll be sometime during this weekend, so stay tuned for that. But yeah. That is all we got for today's episode. 138 days, once again, until the college basketball season tips back off. We got some interviews coming up as well, so stay tuned for that. Some big time names. Really excited for these ones coming up. So stick with us. Follow us on all the socials at the RTM underscore podcast, Spotify, Amazon, not Amazon, but Apple Music.
Yeah,
You know the
we're
deal.
on Amazon too.
Oh, okay. Well, we're on Amazon too, then. You know where to go. But yeah, that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Special guest coming soon.